Yes, ma'am.
Your way. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well and having a wonderful week. Just really glad we get to come into the house of the Lord. And welcome to everybody that's watching online to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. We're going to go ahead and get our service started. Let's all stand if we can. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Does anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Yes, Miss Tabitha. Amen. Praise God. Anyone else on my right side with a... Yes, ma'am. Right. We are going to give it to God, aren't we? Amen. Anyone on my left side with a spoken prayer request tonight? Or in the congregation? I don't want to miss anyone. Right. All the unspoken. I know. God knows each and every one does. If you have an unspoken prayer request, just show by the raise of your hand. You know, God does know and see each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we thank you again, dear Lord, for your mercy and your grace and your love for us, dear Lord. As we come together, dear Lord, we just want to gather together in your name. Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to worship and praise you, dear Lord, ready to receive the word that you've prepared for us tonight. Dear Lord, as we go forth now, dear Lord, we ask you to continue with this service. Lord, be with our young people downstairs and our teens out in the other building. Dear Lord, as your word goes forth, it is so important now, dear Lord, that we concentrate on you. Dear Lord, now we're going to mention each and every prayer request. Dear Lord, you see those hands that were raised. Lord, you know the situations of each and every one, those spoken and unspoken. Lord, we know that you'll be with us, Lord, as we prepare for other testing. And dear Lord, for those results, dear Lord, we ask you to heal bodies, dear Lord. Protect and guide us, dear Lord. We just give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Really looking forward to service tonight. While you're standing, turn to page 120. We're going to go back to one of the old faithfuls I like to do. It's Victory in Jesus, page 120.
To save a wretch like me.
Precious blood, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that was shed for you and I. Praise the Lord. Turn around, just give somebody a wave or a high five and just tell them how much the Lord loves them. I know good to get BD back together this evening. Want to go ahead and take up the evening offering. I know we have a couple of announcements. I do want to continue to remind everybody about Vacation Bible School. Getting very close. And, you know, July will be here and come Friday, isn't it? Praise the Lord. But it's July 10th through 13th, that Sunday night, the 10th. We'll have our kickoff bash, so make plans to come. Bring your grandkids, your kids. Invite people, and it's going to be a wonderful time. If you'd like to help still, there's opportunities. We'd love to have you help us. And also, Sunday night, a breakdown. Ice cream social? Sounds great. It'll be a lot of fun. Bring some ice cream, homemade ice cream, churned ice cream. And also, I saw in there that it says also store-bought ice cream would be fine. With all the fixings. We're going to have a great time of fellowship, and we're just going to celebrate. Yes, ma'am. When is it? Of July? Wow. I'm sitting here going blank. That's a lot. It seemed like a long time from now, but it's not, is it? Got one more announcement. Go ahead and make plans. On July 31st will be our homecoming. Be a wonderful time. We'll get some more information together for you, and I'll get everything down that we need. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Bitsy. Would you mind asking the Lord to bless our evening offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Bye. Sister Brenda asked me if I would sing this song tonight, and I was looking for the CD and I couldn't find it. So I called her today and I said, I cannot find the CD. You need to pray I can find the CD. And I forgot I had put it on my phone. So thank the Lord. So Chris is going to see if he can hook me up back there.
Daily for a lost son or daughter, when you're sitting by a deathbed and your faith begins to falter, as you pour out your sorrow through tears, you're waiting for words from the voice you long to hear. Word of the Lord will come, God will speak with a still small voice in your time of need. The word of the Lord will come, God will bring strength and hope, healing in his wings. The word the Lord will come. You under outer silence, you have cried for so long. You are weak and you're discouraged, you're barely holding on. But he heard you the first time you promise to deliver the one that you fall. The word of the Lord will come, God will speak with a voice of love, never ending peace. The word of the Lord will come, God will bring promises. His word is never late. The word of the Lord will come, God will speak with a voice like fire, great and mighty things.
Just cut it. I'll finish it off. The word of the Lord will come. God will speak with a voice like fire, great and mighty things. The word of the Lord will come. God will bring strength and hope, healing in his wings. The word of the Lord will come. I'm thankful that God has given me the voice that he's given me, and I couldn't tell you how many times that that's happened to me, but I don't let the devil win. I'm going to finish it out.
I'm not instant. It takes me a while. It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to be like Him. Though often I fail and bring Him much shame, it's my desire.
Are you thankful for the desire God gave you? That's all right. You know, if you count on outward things to give you joy, you're going to be disappointed. If you're counting on life's situations give you everlasting joy, they're going to let you down. But you can rely on the joy that's in your heart. And that's what this song is about. It's not that I'm a happy person every day of the life because everything goes my way, joy. No, that's not it. I'm happy every day because Jesus Christ lives within me. Give me a heart, man, and soul to know that whatever we face down here, that God is going to see us through. If it was just the outward joy, then I probably wouldn't even get in the pulpit tonight, or probably wouldn't even get a microphone. Just as I visited Mother, I walked in and found her crying. She was just crying, real tears down her face. And the only thing I could make out was, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. And heartbreaking situation, see your mother laying there doing that. And the only thing I knew to do was just start singing to her. So we started singing Jesus Loves Me. And in a little while, it sort of lightened up. Able to feed her. So my point is, had I not have that love of Jesus Christ in my heart and that comfort and joy that He gives me, it would have been almost unbearable. But thank the Lord, we know that that's not the end of the story. Can you hear me? One day I was walking in a world of fear.
my weary soul. But then I met a man who said he'd be my friend. All my burdens he did roll. God took those worldly desires, gave me heavenly fire. Now I've got a brand new goal. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. Well, it's joy in my heart, joy in my mind. It's joy since that happy day. I've got joy in my hands, joy in my feet. Well, it's joy in every way. God took those worldly desires, gave me heavenly fire. Now I've got a brand new goal. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. I got my eyes on Jesus, got my mind made up. I'm gonna tell it everywhere I go. Well, there ain't nobody gonna turn me around. You see, Jesus is in control. He took those worldly desires, gave me heavenly fire. Now I've got a brand new goal. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. Well, it's joy in my heart, joy in my mind. It's joy since that happy day. I've got joy in my hands, joy in my feet. Well, it's joy in every way. God took all the worldly desire, he gave me heavenly fire. Now I've got a brand new goal. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. Somebody said everlasting joy. Amen. That truly is the joy that we have when Jesus fills us with that wonderful joy. Many, many years ago, too many for me to even remember, or barely remember, but my brother and my cousin and myself, we began to sing as a little trio. And now I look back on it and I think about it, it wasn't necessarily because we wanted to, but our parents were singers, and they wanted us to sing, and they was teaching harmony. I remember they got Dennis to sing like the low part, the alto, and Donnie would sing the high part. And because I was kind of strumming on the guitar, that I would sing the soprano or the lead. And we would sing in church, and you know, they encouraged us. And I remember we went to it was either a fellowship meeting or a youth rally in Atlanta at Brother T.C. Montgomery's church. And we stood and sang that song. And it ties in a little bit to what the Lord's been dealing with me. And I only remember one verse. I may not even get all of it out in the chorus. So I've asked Sister Penny to sort of help me. She's going to sing Dennis and Donnie's part. Give her a hand. Let's do it in G, honey. G. Me and you and...
Tell them the name of the song so they make it.
It's Do You Know My Jesus. I think it's the song, the title. That's all I remember. Three little cotton top boys, one with a guitar and the other on either side, stood up scared to death and sang that song in Atlanta. But like I said, I hope to tie it into tonight's message. Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know
You know Jesus tonight, amen. And a wonderful, wonderful privilege to know the Lord. I also am reminded of that song that says, what a friend we have in Jesus. And tonight, I want to just share some scripture and a thought that the Lord gave on my heart, or laid on my heart. And if I had a message title, it would simply be A Friend in Jesus. And how many knows that we certainly have a friend in the Lord? If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of St. John. In the 15th chapter, we find the words of Christ as he is speaking to his disciples. He begins to tell them something that's very, very important. Something I'm sure that is heartfelt from him, as we know that during this particular time, he is nearing the time when he must say goodbye to his disciples, and that he must carry that cross and be crucified on that terrible hill of Golgotha. And he knows his time is short, but he wants to leave with them the assurance that he loves them. And we find that he says in verse number 12 of the 15th chapter of the book of St. John, he says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how we love you and how we thank you, God, for your mercy, for your grace, wonderful love, God. And thank you for those who have gathered here tonight. Father, I pray you would feed us that heavenly manna tonight. God, just let it rain down upon us. Let it seep deep into our spirit, into our heart and soul tonight. God, we know that's where our joy and our strength comes from, is in you, Lord. And we thank you so much for your nearness and your blessing. We ask you tonight, God, to send down your blessing. I ask you, Lord, to anoint this vessel. Speak to us, God, that you'd have us to hear. We'll be submissive to your will and to your word. Father, we do remember so many are sick, so many are afflicted, so many are battling. And Father, we pray right now, God, that you would minister to each and every need. God, lift those up who are discouraged. Heal those who are afflicted and sick. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would prick the hearts of those who are unsaved tonight to bring them, Lord, to an altar of confession. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. A friend in Jesus. Now, there's a song that I think it was in Toy Story, wasn't it? You got a friend in me. And you know, that word should never be used loosely. What is the saying about the friends? Keep your enemies close, or your friends close, your enemies closer, or something. There's something to that. But, you know, friendship is something you don't just throw on everybody. There's something that's two ways about a friend. In fact, the definition itself says a friend is someone you know and have a bond of mutual affection with or for. And Jesus did not use that term loosely either. We know that he was the Son of God. We know that he was the sacrificial lamb. We know that his destiny and his mission on earth was to come and bleed and die on the cross of Calvary and give his life so that we might be saved. But in so doing, there had to be blood atonement. There had to be blood issued from the body of Christ. God did not change that from the very beginning of time when he was talking about in his word to offer up sacrifices, the blood atonement. But in order to do that, he had to be able to take on the flesh. And in taking on the flesh, even though he was the Spirit of God, he also had some of the characteristics of flesh. And some of those characteristics of flesh are that you get attached to people. You know, things that you have in common with. You have a friendship with folks. You naturally gravitate to someone who has similar likes that you do. And as I was thinking about this week, and I was thinking about the many friends that have been friendly to me and been a wonderful, made wonderful friendship over the years, and I recalled back in grammar school and how that on the first day of school you begin, or I began, maybe you didn't do that, but I began to look around the class because like from second grade to third grade, you know, there were like three in my school. There were like three different third grade classes. So some of the friends that you had in second grade were going to be in other classes, so that you would also be in classes with some that were in another class. So, in other words, it wasn't the same group of friends that you had the year before. Now, you might see them out in the recess or whatever, but in the class, there was a possibility and an opportunity to make new friends. And I was thinking about that this week, and I remember looking and trying, I guess, trying to size people up and, you know, who would look friendly or who would be friendly or who could you pile around with or who could you spend time with at recess, who liked baseball and who liked this and who liked to play on the playground and those kind of things. And you naturally sort of chummed up or buddied up with those that had things in common with you, and you begin to look for certain traits, I guess, that were similar to yours. And maybe that transpired even in adulthood too. But I remembered that. But, you know, really, the point was you begin to look at outside characteristics because you didn't really know the heart. You really didn't know the nature of those people. You had to learn to grow. So by the end of the year, some of the people that you thought that you would be real good friends with, it never materialized. But never failed that every class, there was always one or two that we became very close and even had them over to the house and we'd go over to their house and do things together. So it kind of played out over the year. In other words, you don't just kind of go and say, I'm going to be friends with him or I'm going to be friends with her or whatever. There is a kindred spirit there. So the fleshly part of Jesus, as he knew his destiny was, still had the opportunity and the time and the desire to be friendly with his disciples. You know, we read the accounts of Jesus' healing, of the miracles that he wrought, for the ministries that he preached on the Sermon on the Mount, and many times he sat down and taught. But, you know, I would imagine, and I think this story that they've been showing kind of captures some of that, that probably there was times that were never written in the Word of God where they just kind of sat around and talked about family and talked about this and talked about that and began to be friends and knew that they could count on one another. And I would imagine between the disciples and Jesus, there grew a great bond of friendship, of loyalty, of trust. And I imagine that just developed over the 3 years or the 3.5 years that Jesus was there. So Jesus said, ye are my friends. Ye are my friends. And I don't know a higher, greater compliment he could have put on those disciples than telling them that they are his friends. But we also know that Jesus is a friend. Not only did he have friends, but Jesus is a friend. And something very important that we need to understand is that very first thing that I read, that Jesus said, this is my commandment. This is what I'm telling you that you must do as my friends. You are to love one another as I have loved you. And he went on to say that there's no greater love than that one that would lay down his life for another. And that's what Jesus' love was all about. So love is the greatest contributing factor between friends. Really has nothing to do with worldly acclaim. Really doesn't have anything to do with what family you're from or whatever. It's just that kindred spirit that you have those friends. Somebody that you know that you can count on. And I'm here tonight to tell you that Jesus is that friend. You can always count on him. You know, sometimes friendship can be stretched to a point where it snaps and maybe you're not as friendly or as a friend as or the situation that maybe you thought that it would be. But that's not the case with Jesus. Jesus is a true friend. And a true friend not only to those 12 disciples, but he was a friend to people everywhere that he met. Jesus was a friend to his mother. You think about the story that of Jesus' first miracle. And every Sunday school child or student can tell you the first miracle that Jesus did. But you remember that Jesus wasn't intending to do that. He was just there as a guest. And his mother came to him and said, you know, they're out of wine. And you got to understand the type of situation it was. There was so much pride and so much, you know, wanting to everything to be perfect in that a Jewish wedding that They wanted to make sure that everybody had sufficient food, sufficient drink. Everything had to just be perfect. And all of a sudden, they're out of their drink. So they come to Jesus, or they don't, but they come. They let it be known. And Jesus' mother comes. And you remember what he said? He said, "My hour is not yet come, mother. You know, it's not time for me to begin to do these miracles." But nevertheless, he was a friend to his mother. And he went ahead and done that, not even intending to do that. And let me ask you, how many ever times have you been called on something that you wasn't intended to do whatsoever, but because of a friendship, because of the person that asked you, because the person that you knew, that you didn't want to let them down? And Jesus was that way too. That fleshly part, we see, and that's what I was thinking about this week, we see that miraculous power. We see the power of God that was in him, because him being God robed in flesh, and we see all the wonderful miracles and the things that he did, but we also need to learn there's a compassionate side of him too, and a loving side, and let us know that we can live in a body of flesh too and still have that same love that Jesus Christ had. But I believe in order to do that, we must have the Spirit of the Lord within us. I've often said we don't really know how to love until Jesus puts that love within our heart. We think we do, but the Spirit of the Lord, that when he rests in our soul, really gives us that ability to love. So we think about his first miracle, but we also think about blind Bartimaeus. Now, Jesus was coming and entering into the city. And probably, just my opinion or my thoughts, that probably there were a lot of things planned for Jesus' entrance into the city, Jericho. Probably with some acquaintances there, maybe some friends, maybe some family. Maybe they were going to get together. Maybe they're going to have a feast. Maybe, you know, there was a lot of those things in the Bible. A lot of times, every wedding was just a great big feast. And usually, it lasted more than one day. I don't know, but I know that Jesus did not come directly to Jericho just to heal Bartimaeus. But along the road, as he was going into Jericho, and as he was getting ready to do whatever festivities or whatever it was, he began to hear a cry in the crowd. It was Bartimaeus who was sitting over there begging by the wayside, and he couldn't see Jesus, but he knew from the sounds, and he knew from the voices that Jesus was getting near. So he began to holler. He began to scream, the Bible said, and probably was loud as he possibly could. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And, you know, and the crowds begin to say, "Bartimaeus, you know, leave him alone. You know, don't disturb him. That's the master. You know, he's got other things, maybe more important things to do right now." But nevertheless, he cried that much louder. Jesus stopped. Stopped what was going, and he said, "Tell him to come over here. Come over here." And he took the opportunity. Why? Because that's the kind of friend that Jesus is. Some things are more important than his schedule. Some things are more important than other things that have to be done. Here's somebody crying out to him with faith, believing that if Jesus had just come, he can touch him and heal him. Do you know that Jesus is such a friend to us that no matter what we're doing, no matter what we're facing, he has time to listen to us? Don't raise your hand. Don't mention anybody's name. But if you have a special friendship or relationship with somebody, it doesn't matter what time of the night you call them. It doesn't matter how many times a day you call them. Do they always answer? Will they always be there? Thank God for that. They're few and far between. But Jesus is that friend. You can call him in the midnight hour. He's never too busy. Amen. You can call him with the least little situation or problem, and he's just concerned about it as you are. So many times we think about things that we ask the Lord for, and then maybe we're ashamed because it says, "Just Lord, I don't really want to bother you with this," but that's what he encourages us to do. That is a true friend. So Jesus is certainly a friend in that way, that when we need him, he's always there, never turns us down. I've never had him to tell me I'm too busy, or go back and handle it yourself, or don't bother me. I've never had Jesus to turn me away, no matter what time, no matter what the situation is, and I'm so thankful for that. We also know that he was a friend to a cripple who had been carried to the pool of Siloam, I think it was the pool of Siloam, and laid there and waiting on the angel to trouble the water so that somebody could just push him into the water, and not a soul did that for, what, 30 years? You would think that he had one friend somewhere in his life or in his circle of friends that will say, you know what, we didn't get to do it this year, but I'm going to meet you next year, and I'm going to be right there, and as soon as that angel troubles the water, you can count on me, I'm going to get you into the water. But nobody had stepped forward. Not family, not his friends, not anybody. Jesus didn't have to do that. Jesus came to him. He said, do you want to be healed? Yeah, Lord, I want to be healed, but he didn't say this, but I ain't got one friend that'll put me in the water. He said, I just can't get down there. Every time that the water is troubled, another one comes before me. And, you know, that's not true friendship if you're just always jumping in front of somebody else. But Jesus said, you know what? Take up your bed and walk. And he was healed immediately. Jesus didn't have to do that. He didn't call on Jesus to do that. He said, oh, there's Jesus, like Bartimaeus did. But he was just sitting there, and Jesus had compassion on him and saw him lying there, knew that he'd been lying there for a long time, and he became a friend to Jesus. And I think we was talking about this last night in our brotherhood meeting. Of all the people, of all the lives that Jesus touched during his ministry, the many people that he healed, I know that there's a lot of names and a lot of situations, the blind, the crippled, all of these others. It wasn't just one blind person. There were several blind people that were healed. There were several crippled people that were healed. There were all kind of people that were healed by Jesus Christ. And he went about ministering and touching. In one place, he walked down into the plain after being up in the mountains, and he just began to walk out in the multitude, and as many as touched his garment were made whole. That's a true friend. But I began to think, you know, and I said this, nobody that I recall written in the Bible ever came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, how's your day been going? How are you doing? Are you tired? Understand, he was God robed in flesh, but that flesh part grew weary just like you and I grew weary. But we don't find Jesus turning his back on folks like that. In fact, we find him reaching out and loving people and going out of his way to heal people and to touch people and to anoint people. And another thing, many times when he would heal people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were there around him trying to, upset him or something or get something on him, you know. And he knew that, and at times they'd even want to stone him. But he loved people anyway. And not only a friend to Bartimaeus and a friend to the cripple, but a friend to a woman that would not have raised his prominence in the group. In fact, it might have even caused people to look down upon him. But he had compassion on this woman whom the elders had caught in the very act of adultery. And he became a friend to her. He began to stoop down and write. Who knows what he began to write? Whatever he wrote had some kind of effect on the elders and the priests that were there. And then he said, okay, you know, let's go by the Mosaic law. And, you know, yeah, okay, she's guilty. She was caught in the act. So we have every right to stone her. So whoever has not sinned among you, let him pick up the stone and be the first one to throw the stone. And one by one, they begin to walk away. Now, here's what I thought about that. Jesus could have been like some of the churches are today. He could have said, not my business. I don't want to get involved. I better not do anything about this. You know, I'm just going to kind of turn a blinded eye. He could have done that. He could have just said, you know what? We got every right, the Mosaic law. That's how much Jesus loves a soul. That's how much he cares about that sinner, about that person. He had compassion on her and became a friend to her. So thank God that he does have that ability to love us and be a friend. Jesus was walking one day and he came toward close to a leper colony. In the leper colony, according to the law, they had to let everybody know, don't come close to me. It's a leper colony. We're unclean. Unclean. How symbolic is that? How much of a type and shadow is that? That Jesus would come to an unclean life, that Jesus would come to a sinner, that Jesus would have compassion on somebody that was steeped in sin. Not a person that was a churchgoer or a good person or anything that, but Jesus died for each and every one of us. And Jesus just went in and he healed them all.
healed every single one of them. And they were so happy they took off to town to do the ritual and all, but only one turned back and began to glorify and worship him. But you know what? I don't believe that Jesus loved that one any more than he loved those other nine, because that's just the kind of friend that Jesus is. It's not what can you do for me. It's what I can do for you. That's a true friend. And Jesus is, in fact, a true friend. He loved and was friends to multitudes of people. So many times, he just healed folks when he really didn't have to. He just did miracles when he really wasn't necessary for him to do it. He could have had a good reason. I've been up all night, been up praying, been in the garden praying all night long. Yet I don't find where he turned anybody away. What a precious and glorious friend that we have. And it began to make me think, what a wonderful personal relationship that I have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we find, too, that when he stepped out of the boat from the other side to Gennesaret, and here comes a screaming demon, absolutely possessed with demonic spirits. And Jesus could have said to his disciples, get him away from me. Don't have anything to do with him. But Jesus healed him and cast those demons out of him. He didn't have to. Legion didn't come up saying, was ranting and raving. They couldn't even keep him chained and fettered. But Jesus became a friend to him. Touched him, changed his life, sent him back to his family, sent him back to his home, clothed and in his right mind. What a great friend Jesus Christ is. Amen. And again, how symbolic is that of what Jesus has done for us in our life. And finally, Jesus is a friend to me. He's a friend to me. I can no way return the friendship to him that he has given me. I wish I could be as true a friend. I've failed. I had shortcomings in my life. And I'm human. I'm flesh. But you know what? Never has Jesus turned me away. He's always had compassion on me. He's understanding. That's what a true friend. He's never said, you know what? Cast you away. I'm not going to be friends with you anymore. You know, what is the thing now? You just unfriend them. We used to do that, but it wasn't with technology. You know, it was, I remember it. He's not my friend anymore. I remember the grandkids when they, well, we're not friends anymore. Something happened. And then the next week, I thought y'all wasn't friends. No, we're friends again now. But that's not the kind of relationship that Jesus Christ has with us. And I'll leave you with this. Jesus is and always will be our Redeemer. Jesus is and always will be our Savior. Sometimes I think what we fail to realize is Jesus is and always will be our greatest friend. Greatest friend. And it's good to have friends. You can count on friends. But I will assure you, the greatest friendship that you can ever have is with the Lord Jesus Christ. So be thankful. Be thankful for salvation. Be thankful that he called you and loved you and brought you out of a sinful nature and gave you a promise and a home of heaven. But also, I thought this week, Lord, I'm thankful for your friendship, and I mean that with all of my heart. I really am thankful for the friendship that I have with Jesus Christ. Because he doesn't really, I don't have to impress him. And a true friend, you don't. I can be myself with him. He knows me inside and out. He knows everything about me. And he still loves me. What a great friend. What a wonderful friend. And the author of that, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. That must be divine intervention. It turned to 341. There it is. What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Listen, not only does he bear my sins and griefs, but every single one who's born again. That's a heavy load to put on a friend, but Jesus does that. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Think about that. Hey, some folks say, nope, I don't want to hear it. Don't tell that all that stuff to me. I got plenty of problems of my own, but not Jesus. Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find solace there. What a friend we have in Jesus. All I'm doing tonight is just encourage us, amen, to take advantage of that wonderful friendship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he's our Redeemer. He's our Savior. But he is also a friend. Would you stand tonight? God bless you. I love you so very much, each and every one of you. And it's one thing to have a friend in Jesus, but he told the disciples, ye are my friends, and if you do my commandments, and if you do his commandments and live a life pleasing him, you are the friends of Jesus. And that's so wonderful and so good to know. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Yes. Prosthetic. Right, absolutely. Would someone come and stand in for Brother Terry and let us anoint you on his behalf, and you others, if you want to gather around, let's pray. Brother Terry never ceases to amaze me. He has probably every right to moan and groan and complain, but he always seems to be in good spirits, and he seems to be able to live by faith and walk by faith. So let's pray that the Lord would touch both of his legs and heal them, that he'll be able to put prosthetics on again. Heavenly Father,
Lord, reach right to him and touch Brother Terry. God, through the faith of this church, as we stand together, God, for our brothers, for our friends, pray, God, that you would touch him and heal him, Lord. Heal those sores right now, God. Let it be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Reach out to him right now, God. Anoint him, Lord. Touch him and anoint him in the Jesus' name. God, honor his faith tonight, Lord. God, strengthen him in Jesus' mighty name. Pray. Reach out to him, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy. Thank you,
Lord. Hallelujah. I truly mean that. Brother Terry is a man of faith, and I admire him because he's been through a lot. Anyone else need prayer before we dismiss tonight? This altar still open. Need prayer? Well, remember those who have lost some loved ones. I know there's some funerals going on this week. So still remember Sister Hugs, her body. And pray for Mother. Pray for Mother that won't get into that, whatever that.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we pray, strengthen her body, Lord. God, touch her back and legs, Lord. Strengthen her and heal her in the name of Jesus. God, let her feel your power. Let her feel that anointing right now, Lord. Lord, touch her body in Jesus' mighty name. God, we believe it for a miracle, Lord. We believe, Lord, heal her, strengthen her. Thank you.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. All our sins and griefs to bear. Brother Jim, come if you would. Dismiss with us with a word of prayer. Everyone have a wonderful.
Amen. Again, it's wonderful to be able to gather with y'all in the house of the Lord. Love each and every one of you. Those of you watching online know how much we love you. If you have a prayer request, please just put it in the comments and we will pray with you. Praise God. Because we know our good Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're praying in His name. All hearts and minds clear? All righty. As we prepare to part, just ask y'all to please keep all the prayer requests. I know there's those that we've already given to the Lord tonight. We know God's already healing, right? Amen. God is great. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we thank you again, dear Lord, for this service tonight, for you allowing us to gather together in your name. Lord, your word is powerful and strong, dear Lord. We just want to give you all the glory and honor. Dear Lord, now as we prepare to part, dear Lord, we ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord, with all the festivities going on and all those on vacation, those traveling, keep them safe. Bring them back at their appointed time, dear Lord. We just give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.